Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am your host for this evening, Morey Ishyah Yisrael, from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street. And we are here to bring you nothing but the truth. We'd like to say shalom to all of our viewers and listeners in the internet audience. We know that you have tuned in because of your great love and fear towards the mighty Elohim, whose name is Yahweh. And we're going to speak on Yahweh. And who is Yah? Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the Almighty. He is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, and the only redeemer and savior of Israel and the world. And we're going to bring you nothing but the truth of the mighty Yah. Now, we at the house of Israel are just returning from our conference, the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference, which we hold three times in the year in various places throughout the world. We just went on a beautiful cruise to the Bahamas, in which we were able to sail on the seas of the mighty Elohim and to see the beauty, the majesty, the grandeur, and the excellency that the Creator has made in the world of the seas. We also were able to land in the island of the Bahamas to explore and see a different part of the world. Because Yahweh's creation is everywhere. He created everything. And what you know, when we went to the Bahamas, we saw many of Yahweh's people. And they weren't living quite different than Yah's people here in the United States. They had the same oppressors transform their lives and had the same oppression that's upon us here in America is also upon them there in the Bahamas. But it was a beautiful experience, a beautiful boat ride, a beautiful time, a beautiful Shabbat day that we were able to have and spend on the water, a Sabbath day on the water. And it was magnificent. And the teachings were profound. We heard the word of Yah go forth, and Yahweh's word taught us about many things on the Sabbath, about time, about why it is the time of the latter days, love of Yah, or love according to the scriptures. We heard the vision that the teachers were able to bring forth. We were able to learn about Yah's covenant and how Yahweh expects us to deal with his covenant and how to be a servant of the Most High. So it was an awesome time in the teachings of the Sabbath day will be uploaded on YouTube in the next couple of days, so you can experience the great wisdom that we were able to experience, because we were on the cruise ship in the middle of the ocean. We did not have the access to broadcast our message, but we will upload the recorded teachings. But what are we going to deal with today? Well, let me show you. If you go to the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, In Genesis 15, start reading in the first verse, where it states, after these things, the word of Yahweh came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Yahweh Elohim, what wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of Yah came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou can be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in Yah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am Yah that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Yah Elohim, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto him, Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking flax and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day Yah made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmeites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims, Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. In this chapter, we read a conversation in a covenant that was made between Yahweh, Abram, and Abraham's seed, in which Yah promised the land of Canaan to the seed of Abraham. Yah told Abraham that he would have a seed. And when Yah told Abraham this, he believed him. And Yahweh knew that Abraham was righteous. Why? Was Abraham's belief in the word of the Most High righteous? Because Yahweh said that he wants you to know, believe, and understand. And Abraham believed the Most High because he trusted in Yah with all his heart. And Abraham asked him for a sign. He wanted to know what was the sign that he should inherit this land. And Yah gave Abraham a vision of his seed being afflicted and persecuted, oppressed 400 years in a land that's not theirs, where they shall be a stranger and they shall serve and be afflicted for 400 years. But they should come out of that land and enter into the land that Yah promised Abraham. This was his covenant, his sign that he would give him this vision, that this land would be his and his seed after him. So Yahweh made this covenant with Abram or Abraham. And why? Because Yahweh had honor for Abraham. And let me show you. Go to the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. And we'll begin reading at verse 17. And it says, "And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Now, why would Yahweh have to consider that? Because Yahweh had honor for Abraham. And what is honor? The Hebrew word for honor is kabod. In Hebrew, it means weighty, to be weighty or to be heavy. This is why you'll see if we hold this scripture and we go to the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And in Leviticus 19, in verse 3, it says, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father." Why? Because the commandment of Yah lets you know that you shall honor your father and your mother. But also, let me see, because I had another one. Yes, Deuteronomy 27 is the one I really need you to see. "But you shall fear every man his father and his mother." And in Deuteronomy 27, verse 6, it says, hold on, I think I had the wrong verse. 16, excuse me. Deuteronomy 27, verse 16 states, "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." See, if you honor your father and your mother, then you hold them with a heavy consideration. They hold weight. That means what they want or say or do should be a heavy thing. It should weigh on your heart so you consider it. But if you hold light by them, or if you esteem them lightly, then you're not honoring them, and you'll be cursed. Well, Yahweh had honor for Abraham. That's why in Genesis 18 and 17 he said, "And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" See, Abraham held weight with the Almighty. Seeing that, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This is how much honor the Almighty put on Abraham. that he would consider him in before he did a thing, and that he did it so because Abraham was honorable. How do you know Yahweh looked at Abraham in an honorable manner? Well, if you go to the book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter, start reading at verse 8, where it says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Look what Yahweh said. Abraham is Yahweh's friend. Now, who has a friend that they don't honor? Who has a friend, a real friend, that they don't consider? But that's not how Yahweh deals with his friends. And there's only one person I've seen Yahweh call a friend, and that's Abraham. And Abraham held the honor in Yah, and Yahweh honored Abraham by giving him a covenant. Because when you honor someone and love someone because they're honorable, you honor them with your word. You honor them with your bond. And you honor them with a covenant. And that's what Yahweh did with Abraham. Look here in the book of 2 Samuel. Well, no, let's go to 1 Samuel. And this is something we saw at the conference on the Sabbath day when Mori Ishaya was teaching about covenants and the love of Yah according to the scriptures and marriage also. But if you look in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, and we'll start reading at the, first verse. It says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan," or Jonathan, "was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day." So that means he held honor. There was honor of David in Jonathan's sight. He honored him. He saw David as being honorable. And he held honor for him. "And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." See, that's what you do when you have honor for someone. You go into some kind of covenant, a bond, to join yourselves because you have honor. Look in Psalms, the 15th chapter. Psalms 15, first verse reads, "Yahweh, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart," the truth in his heart. "He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, and who eyes A vile person is contemned, but he honoreth him that fear Yahweh. He that sweareth to his own, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Yeah. You honor them that fear Yahweh. But vile people are contemned. You don't honor a vile person. What is it that? That doesn't look good at all. If Jonathan saw a vile man, imagine Jonathan saw Goliath and stripped off his armor and his garment and gave his sword and gave it to Goliath and knitted his soul with Goliath and made a covenant with Goliath. He's vile. He blasphemed and cursed and defied the armies of the Most High. He was a vile man. But what if Jonathan honored him? That would be awkward, weird, and just terrible. But you don't do that. You honor them that fear Yah. What did Yah do with Abraham? He gave him honor. He said, you are going to be the one in whose the whole world will be blessed in. How much more honor can one man get? But also, let's go to another testimony. And it's in the book of Genesis. Start reading in Genesis, the 29th chapter. And I think I want verse 4. Jacob's going on his journey and he gets to a well where he sees some women. And Jacob said in verse 4 unto them, well, first he saw the men. And he said, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it the time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Yaakov, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him. And he embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said unto him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him in the space of a month. And Laban said unto Yaakov, because thou art my brother, Shouldst thou serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Yaakov loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Yaakov served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Now, what would make a man serve another man, relative or not, 7 years just so he can marry a woman? Well, he loved her. And that means she had honor toward him. He honored her, and he showed his love and his honor for her by working for her father for 7 years, which means all the profit that Yaakov brought in by serving Laban went to Laban. And all Jacob wanted was the wife. And that's the honor he showed towards the love of his life. He worked 7 years. What did he want? He wanted to join into a covenant. He wanted to marry because he loved her. And how else do you honor someone you love? By going into a covenant with them. When they're honorable. Go to the book of Ruth. And we'll go to the second chapter. The second chapter. Now, if you understand the story of Ruth, at this point, Ruth had returned or arrived in the land of Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi, whose sons had died in the land of Moab. And instead of remaining in Moab, Ruth, who was a Moabitess, said that wherever Naomi goes, goes Ruth, and wherever Naomi lives, will Ruth live, and whoever is Naomi's Elohim will be Ruth's Elohim, and whoever are Naomi's people will be Ruth's people. She denounced her heritage, her gods, her lineage, herself to be attached to Naomi and her people. Let me show you. It's in the first chapter. And in verse 8, it says, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return to her mother's house, to each to her mother's house. Yahweh deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Yahweh grant thee that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband, also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of Yah is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, my sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her Elohim. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy Elohim, my Elohim. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Yahweh do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Do you see? Ruth had honor for her mother-in-law. So much honor that she had rather died where she stood than to go return unto the Moabites. She said, I'm not a Moabite anymore. I'm with you. Where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. Where you live, I live. Your people are my people. Your Elohim is my Elohim. So she bonded herself to Naomi that day because of the honor she had for her. And her honor that she had continued to increase. In chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, let me show you. Let's expedite here a little bit and go to the fourth verse. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Yah be with you. And they answered him, Yah bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? You see how respectable, how honorable Ruth was? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Yahweh recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of Yah, Elohim of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my master, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. So you see, because of how she honored Naomi, she was given honor herself, able to glean in the field that Boaz owned. She didn't have to go to the corners and wait for the other people to finish their work. She was able to glean that she was one of the handmaidens of Boaz. She was able to gather food for her house, way that Boaz honored her. And she showed nothing but gratitude and nothing but honor towards him. Then, if we fast forward to the third chapter, you'll see some more evidence of this honorable woman named Ruth. And you're going to see what her reward for honor is. And we're in chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?" And what was rest? What did Naomi see as rest for her daughters? A husband. As she told her daughters-in-law after the former husbands passed, she said, "Go thou and find rest in thy husband's house." Because that's where a wife finds rest, in her husband's house. Not in being an independent woman, an independent woman, got her own house, got her own car, bank account, and whatnot. Yahweh never said nothing about that. He's showing you that you find rest in your husband's house. Where does Israel find rest? In her husband's house. And who's Israel's husband? Yahweh. And so Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is it not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went in with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put on thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And when it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And of course, if you go forward, it lets you know that Ruth did exactly what her mother-in-law said. And in verse 7, it says, "When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down." Now you see, she didn't have to go out there and be some kind of harlot, some kind of sex addict. She just laid down at his feet. This was a sign that she wanted to be with him, that she was available for him. She didn't have to do anything lewd or perverse. Just lay down at his feet, literal feet, and that's where she laid. And it came to pass in verse 8 at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He was just laying there, chilling, just ate good, drank good, and he felt something tickle on his feet. He said, "What's that? It's a woman on it, at his feet." And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of Yah, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." He's letting her know, look, you have been honorable. You have showed kindness. You have came to your kinsmen. Because the law of the Most High lets us know that if a man die and he has bear no children, that his brother shall marry this woman and bear a seed in his brother's name, so that his brother's name be not extinguished amongst the heritage of Israel. And Ruth, following her mother's advice, who knew the law, who kept the law, who lived the law, doing what her mother-in-law said, it showed more honor. And she was acknowledged of that. And he said in verse 11, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Because why? Because she was honorable. She feared Yah. "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do to thee the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee. As Yahweh liveth, lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one can know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." And he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. He let her know, don't tell nobody about what we discussed. Don't let nobody know. Just wait until I go handle this business so we can have it all straight and in order. She didn't go run her mouth, say, "You know, I done laid in Boaz's house like last night, girl." No. She said, "Just let me handle this business." And that's what he did. And what happened? He married her. And what is marriage? A covenant. And why did he do that? Because she was virtuous, honorable. Because what do you do with one that you honor? You make a covenant with them. You join yourself unto them. You put your bond onto them. You give them your word. Because they're honorable. And how are they honorable? In the fear of Yah. Also, go to the book of 1 Samuel. What are we discussing? We're discussing the honor that you show to those that fear Yah. How did Yahweh show honor unto Abraham? He made a covenant with him and his seed after him and married him. How did Jonathan and David honor each other? They made a covenant. How did Boaz honor Ruth? He made a covenant. How did Ruth honor Naomi? She gave her her word. She clave to her with a bond, a covenant of sorts. Where in the scriptures do you see somebody honoring someone and it's not by covenant? Well, in the first book of Samuel, I want to go to around the 25th chapter. So we're going to the first book of Samuel. Let me get the chapters. The 25th chapter. And we'll start reading. Let's start reading at verse 12. Oh, no, let's go a little bit higher than that. I just don't want to read this whole chapter because it's extensive, and we've been reading some extensive chapters. But nevertheless, I do need this message to be clear. So let's start reading at verse 9. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words, and the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give unto men whom I know not and whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these things, or all those sayings. And David said unto his men, "Gird ye every man his sword," and they girded every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men and 200 a bow by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when they were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, no one consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master, and against all of his household. For he is such of a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Why was this a problem? This is a problem because David showed kindness to Nabal's men, but he didn't return the same kindness. He didn't honor David as David honored him. As the psalm said, "You contemn a vile man, but honoreth them that fear Yah." And these men protected Nabal's men, and didn't steal, didn't kill, didn't rob, didn't take advantage of them or nothing. Protected them. And when it was time for them to get something in need, they didn't get the same in return. Now, that's not how you honor somebody. But Abigail, being a wise woman, saw the danger, heard the terror, and acted. So now in verse 21, David has said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. And now more, and more also do Elohim unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertained to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall." And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my master, upon me, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience. and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not thy my master, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my master whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my master, as Yahweh liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing Yahweh hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thy own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my master be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my master, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my master. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for Yahweh will certainly make my master a sure house, because my master fighteth the battles of Yah, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my master shall be bound in the bundle of life with Yahweh thy Elohim, and the souls of thy enemies, them shall he sling out as of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when Yahweh shall have done to my master according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my master, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my master hath avenged himself. But when Yahweh shall have dealt with well with my master, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, which has sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with my own hand. You see, Abigail was very wise in stepping in front of David in his path to go destroy Nabal. Not for Nabal's sake, but so David, who was anointed by Yah, chosen by Yah to rule over Israel, would not have this blot on his record that he one time got upset and took vengeance in his own hand and went and murdered all kind of people. She said, don't let this be on you that you shed blood causeless and that you avenged in your own hands. And what was she letting David know? She reminded David of the law of Yah, because you honoreth them that fear Yahweh. And she knew David feared Yah, and all David had to hear was the law of the Most High. And he was like, you know what? Praise the mighty Yah. Blessed be thou of Yahweh Elohim of Israel, and blessed be your advice, because I was about to go kill everything that pisses against the wall. But you have stepped before me, and you have reminded me of the word of the Most High. And you have taken me from being a man that sheds blood causeless and seeks vengeance. And all she said was, remember me when you become ruler. And David didn't kill him. David turned back, and he took the gift that Abigail gave him and his people. And then she went and told Nabal. And what happened? Nabal died after 10 days, letting you know he was set apart to Yah's vengeance, consecrated to Yah's destruction. Nabal died And then, in verse 39 of this chapter, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be Yahweh that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For Yahweh hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, "David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife." And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, "Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my master." And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. So what did David do? How did David honor Abigail? How did David honor this lady? Honored him, that honored Yah, that feared Yahweh. What did David do? Did he give her $5,000? A high five and a pat on the back? No. He honored her by making a covenant with her and married her. Because what do? With those that you honor, those that you love? What do? With those that fear Yah? How do you honor them? What did Yah do with Abraham? He made a covenant with him. What did Jacob do with Rachel? He made a covenant with her. What did Boaz do with Ruth? And what did Ruth do with Naomi? They made covenants. What did David and Jonathan do? Made a covenant. And what did David do for Abigail? She became his wife because he made a covenant with her. Because you honor them that fear Yah. And then how else are you going to show your honor towards these type of folks, but to marry or to go into a covenant? Go to the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, it says, "But now thus saith Yahweh that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And thou, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Cush and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Yea, I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." What did Yahweh say? He said that we, or Israel, is precious in his sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. And therefore, he made covenants with Israel. covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because of the honor that he saw, the precious sight that beheld in his eyes for Israel, and the honor. And what did he do? He gave his word. He made a bond. He made a covenant. And what should we do with the honorable? Go to the book of Psalms 50 In Psalms 50, verse 5, it says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Y'all saints make covenant with the Almighty. That's what you do. And this covenant is made by sacrifice. You tell me a covenant that's made without a sacrifice. Did Yahweh do a sacrifice when he made a covenant with Abraham? Yes, he did. Did Jacob have a sacrifice when he made a covenant with Rachel? Yes, he did. He worked 7 years. What was the sacrifice Jonathan made with David? He had to forsake his own father. He had to stand up for David in righteousness. You're supposed to honor your father, but he made a covenant with David. This was his friend. He loved him like his own soul, and he knew that David was anointed by Yah. And when Saul was after David, Jonathan made the sacrifice. Did David make a sacrifice when he made a covenant with Abigail? Yes, he did. He brought on another wife. He had to give up something to get. He had to sacrifice his heart that smote him for vengeance. There's sacrifices in making covenants. And if you're going to be a saint of the Most High, then you're going to have to make a covenant. And if you're going to make a covenant, you're going to have to make a sacrifice. And Yahweh is looking for his saints that are made covenants with him by sacrifice. What does it say again in Psalms, the 15th division? Look at that again. Verse 1, Yahweh, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear Yahweh. He sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money under usury, nor taketh the reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. And these are multiple sacrifices. It's a sacrifice. And the greatest sacrifice that you're making when you do these covenants is a sacrifice of your own heart, because you got to give up your selfishness, you got to give up your pettiness, you got to give up your lewdness, your lustfulness, your rudeness, your evilness, and you got to put that away so you can go into this covenant with this other individual or the Most High, so you can show forth honor. And what do you do with those that honor Yah or fear Yah? You honor them. Look in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah chapter 55, start reading at the first verse. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And all you have to do is give Yahweh the honor to listen to him, to obey him, to incline your ear, to stop laboring for that which ain't giving you no profit, for in spending money for things that don't even satisfy you, but give your honor, your strength, your obedience, your listening. Give that to the Most High. And then he's going to do what when you honor him? He's going to make a covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And did Yahweh not make a covenant with David? Why did Yahweh make a covenant with David? Let me show you. It's in the book of 2 Samuel. But first, go to 1 Samuel, around the 13th chapter. And in the 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, after Saul did not honor Yah the right way, in verse 12, or verse 13, it says, "Samuel said unto Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of Yahweh thy Elohim, which he commanded thee. For now would Yahweh have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Yahweh hath sought him a man after his own heart, and Yahweh hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which Yahweh commanded thee." Yahweh honored David with a covenant because David was a man after Yah's own heart. And if he was a man after Yah's own heart, what does that mean? That means his heart was like the Almighty's. Yah had a man that had a heart like his. He wanted the things that Yah wanted. He desired the things that Yah desired. He felt the way about things the way Yah felt the way about things. This man was after Yah's own heart. Why else was he the one to design the house of the Most High? Because he knew how the Most High wanted his house to look. And what did David say when he was designing the house of the Most High in 1 Chronicles? Another scripture we went over in we weren't in the Bahamas. We were in the seas on the Sabbath day. We was all floating on the seas. And this is another scripture we heard dealing with love according to the scriptures. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1, this was brought out by Morey Naphtali. It says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone Elohim hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for Yah Elohim. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my Elohim the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and the iron for things of iron, in the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my Elohim, I have of my own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my Elohim, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. This is what David did, because his affection, his love, his heart was set toward Yah. And Yah made a covenant with David. And Yah will make a covenant with you. And Yah has made a covenant with Israel. And when you honor those that are honorable, a great show of honor, and as I see it, the greatest show of honor to those you love, that fear Yah, you make a covenant with them. And there is no covenant made without sacrifice. And the greatest covenant and the greatest honor we can show is toward the Most High. In last scripture, which is in the book of Hosea, the 14th chapter, a message to Israel in captivity. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to Yahweh. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we sin any more with the work of our hands. You are our Elohim. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. And Yahweh is saying, make the covenant with your mouth, take up words, and give a sacrifice of your bond, your word, and return to Yah in that covenant, as we should do, by honoring the Almighty, by going into the covenant with him. It's time to return to Yah and make a covenant by sacrifice, so that we may be gathered as one of Yah's saints. Hallelujah. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much. So do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.